All right. Well, let's get into our word this morning. I want to talk to you this morning from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. Now, a lot of people don't like to teach from the wisdom literature. They don't like to preach from the wisdom literature. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they don't understand the wisdom literature. That's the only reason they don't teach from it. But I want to teach you from the wisdom literature this morning. And when I say wisdom literature, I'm talking about the book of Proverbs, the book of Job, the book of Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon, and some of the Psalms are considered wisdom literature. So I want to talk to you about wisdom literature today. One of the deepest cries, one of the deepest longings in the heart of every human being is the desperate desire for a sense of destiny and purpose. And I want to talk to you about that sense of destiny and purpose from the wisdom literature this morning. Now, let me say this to you. When we're talking about destiny and purpose, the greatest discovery in life is destiny. When your purpose is established and you're moving toward a destiny, it is the greatest discovery in life. But church, the greatest tragedy in life is not death. Even though it's tragic. When people close to us die, it's tragic. When we lose them, when we have to live without them, it's tragic. But the greatest tragedy in life is not death. The greatest tragedy in life is actually life without a reason. It's more tragic to be alive and not know why than to be dead and not know life on this earth. If you don't know why you're living, listen, if you don't know why you're living, your life is being wasted. The tragedy in life is that so many people are alive, but they don't know why they are living. That's why people working wake up on Monday morning in such a drudgery for the day and feel this drudgery for the day. They would rather stay in bed and sleep. They would love to stay in bed and sleep. But when you sleep, you don't have to think about life. And the issue we all have to deal with, the issue that every human being has to deal with, is existence without purpose. And the madness of this life, I'm going to call what I call materialism without meaning. You get the big house you dreamed of for 30 years, and it depresses you. You finally get that BMW, and you end up hating it. You dream of that marriage, and then you get in it, and you can't wait to leave it. Come on, somebody. We dream of that promotion, and then when we get the promotion, we despise the people that work for us. Materialism without meaning. That's the madness of this world we live in. Everybody is running after materialism at the expense of meaning. And without purpose, listen, without purpose, life has no meaning. Without purpose, life has no sense to it. Without purpose, life is just an experiment. It becomes an experiment. Without purpose, listen to me, without purpose, life has no energy, no drive, and no motivation. You know what life is without purpose? It's a study in frustration, and it's an exercise in depression. And as I said at the beginning, one of the deepest cries of the heart of every human being is the desperate desire for this sense of destiny. You can be on the streets in Bombay in India. You can be in an aristocratic palace walking on marble floors. You can be in the shelters in the inner city. You can be in the suburbs of the wealthy. It doesn't matter where you live or where you're from. Everybody has the same problem. And the problem is that they are grasping, they are desperately searching, trying to get their hands on a sense of destiny for their lives. without a sense of purpose and destiny, without a sense of personal destiny, listen, everything means nothing. The cause of many of our social ills today in society, if you look at psychologists, sociologists, it's based on one theory. The cause of many of our social ills is based on one theory, and that theory is the absence of purpose and meaning in the lives of so many people. That's our problem. The youth are confused. The older ones are frustrated. The rich are bored. The poor are depressed. The teenagers are angry. The intellectuals are disillusioned. The scientists are perplexed. The religious people are redundant, and Christians are burnt out. All this, church, all this because there's no sense of destiny. One of the reasons that we changed the name of the church to The Rising and are making other changes is because we want to create a renewed sense of destiny. Even being saved doesn't necessarily mean you found your destiny. Now, we know our destination is eternity, but we're talking about destiny in the realm of time. And being, quote unquote, saved does not mean you know why you're living. Having eternal life doesn't mean you know why you have it. Well, some folks, some religious folks, will say to me, well, Charlie, what does it matter? What are you talking about all this stuff for? What does it matter? You're going to live forever. And my question to them is, live forever and do what? Do what? Live forever and do what? God's plan was always for us to have eternal life. So having eternal life doesn't impress God. God created everything for a specific purpose. And that's what's important to God. It's not necessarily the existence of a thing, but what he gave it existence to do and become that's important. No matter what we do, without purpose, without some kind of meaning behind what we do, we are alive, but never quite living. Everything equals nothing without a sense of purpose and destiny. Now let's go to someone in the scripture. Let's go to someone in the scripture who knew something about having everything and then having nothing. And his name was Job. Let's go to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. Are you here? Now, in chapter 14, Job makes a statement about all of us. Look at verse 1. He says, man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Isn't that depressing? Well, come on, Job, be nice. What is he talking about here? A man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away. Like a fleeting shadow, he does not endure. Do you fix your eye on such a one? Will you bring him before you for judgment? Who can bring what is pure from the impure? No one. Now pay close attention to verse 5. Man's days are determined. Hey, we're getting into destiny now. Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. Wow, Job, that is pretty deep. God has set limits that you cannot exceed. Whatever God gave you birth to do, watch, Whatever God gave you birth to do, everything else will make you frustrated. The only thing that will give you any sense of peace or any sense of confidence is your destiny. Everything else is trouble. You don't hear what I'm saying. Everything else is trouble. It's like a battery trying to be a spark plug. It's like a carburetor trying to be a battery. And many of you are frustrated because you are working on something, watch, that you're not designed to do. If you are out, or if you are outside of God's determined destiny for you, what you are in, watch, will make you frustrated. Because you cannot survive doing what you hate or what frustrates you. Do you know I read this crazy statistic that 80% of the people who die from heart trouble, watch, die on Monday morning between 7 and 9. What a crazy statistic. You don't have to worry, Louise, because you're retired. Louise looked at me like, whoa, what's going to happen to me? Chuck, 80% of the people who die from cardiovascular problems, heart trouble, hypertension, stroke, they die. 80% die on Monday morning between 7 and 9 a.m. And they assume that this happens because at that particular period of the week and day is the highest level of stress because people are preparing to go to a place they hate. When Job said that God has set limits you can't exceed, it means you can't improve on God's destiny for your life. You can't substitute for what you were born to do. There's nothing you can do to make yourself satisfied except to do that which you were created to do. Verse 6. Look at verse 6. He says, so look away from him and let him alone till he has put in his time like a hired man. Job says, you came to earth to put in time. And Job began to understand through all of his trauma that no human being is haphazard. Nothing is haphazard. You came here because there was something you needed to deposit into this earth realm. That's why you're here. You came because there's something you need to deposit in this earth realm. There's something you need to deposit into the kingdom of God. In other words, listen, you are necessary. You are necessary. Say that with me. Say, I am necessary to planet earth. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say it loud. I am necessary to planet earth. I am necessary to the kingdom of God. Come on, say it. Say this, I am necessary to the rising.
I am necessary to the rising.
Now hit your neighbor with your elbow. Go ahead, hit him with your elbow. Tell your neighbor, did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? I am necessary to planet earth. Yeah, hit him. Tell him. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Now tell your neighbor this. Tell your neighbor, you need me. You don't know it yet. But you don't know it yet. You don't know it yet, but I'm carrying something you need. Now clap your hands if you understand what I'm talking about. Now let me take you a little deeper into this life without destiny, existence without purpose, living without meaning. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to go through a large portion of this. And this is a dangerous book to read. Why? Why? Because the book was written to show the futility of man's life without God. And it deals with life without purpose. It deals with what a man is like without destiny. So if a man has no sense of destiny, and when I say man, I'm talking about men and women. If a man has no sense of destiny, he had no sense of destiny in his life, this is what he's like in Ecclesiastes, what we're about to read. This is what he's like. Everything, let me tell you something. Everything is covered here. As the book says, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything is covered here, whether you live 6,000 years ago or whether you live in the 2000s. Whatever you can think of is in this book. You can't really do anything that's not already in Ecclesiastes. You can't. There's nothing new. Now, if you look at this book, chapter 1, if you look at chapter 1, you're going to see that there are topics to each portion. Look at the first topic. Everything is meaningless. What a way to start the book. Everything is meaningless. And he goes on to describe life. Now, remember, he's talking about the futility of man's life without God. Life without purpose is nothing. Nothing makes sense if you don't have any destiny. Now, here's what he's talking about. Verse 1, the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. Verse 8, all things are wearisome more than one can say. Anybody ever feel like that? The eye never has enough of seeing. Isn't that true? Nor the ear its fill of hearing. That's true. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. That is a depressing portion of Scripture. Amen. He is saying that no matter what you do, if you don't have a purpose, if you don't have a destiny, all you have done is nothing. That's what he's saying. My Lord. That's what he's saying. Look at the next topic. Wisdom is meaningless. Now, he first says that all of life is nothing without purpose. And then he goes on to say, for wisdom is nothing without purpose. I mean, you go to college and you get all the degrees you can. A BA, an MA, a PhD, a DD, every D you can think of. You get all the degrees you can. But if you don't know why you were born, you still have nothing. You're what's called an intellectual fool. You understand? An intelligent fool. People get all kinds of degrees but have no sense. You know them. I mean, smart, stupid people. They get PhDs, watch, but they got horrible relationships. And they get PhDs, and their knowledge doesn't help a soul. So he goes on to say here, wisdom is meaningless. Look at verse 12. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Now remember, under the sun means without God, without purpose, without destiny. This is what it ends up being. What is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. Verse 16, I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, I got plenty of education. That's what he's saying. I got plenty of education. Verse 17, then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom. Now, he's talking about all the ancients, all the poets, all the philosophers. Now, look at the next heading in chapter 2. Look at the next heading in chapter 2. It says, pleasures are meaningless. Now, church, we were actually built for pleasure. But everything is meaningless, even pleasure, without purpose or destiny. Look at verse 1. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? Verse 3, I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. In other words, I tried to cheer myself with alcohol and liquor and drugs and barbiturates and cocaine. Sniff, sniff. I tried. He said, I tried. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. So he tried all that stuff, and I still had no meaning, he says, in my life. There's no meaning. Verse 4, I undertook great projects. I built great businesses. I invested in great CDs. I amassed great wealth. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. Read verse 5. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. Verse 7, I bought male and female slaves. In other words, I had some staff members, people working for me. He said, I had that. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. That means that my investments were prosperous. I had money in the bank. I invested in all kinds of different things. I had it all. I had it all. Look at verse 8. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers. In other words, I had all the music I wanted in my house. And a harem. As well. The delights of the heart of man. I became greater, more famous. I became more famous by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. Any woman, anything at the mall. I denied myself nothing my eyes desire. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work. See, I was proud. Look what I built. Isn't that great? That's my home. That's my business. That's my ministry. See that car? That's mine. I was proud of what I did. And this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, this is the reward, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. He said, what? The reward for all that was everything was meaningless. What a horrible thing. What a horrible thing. Look at the next heading. Wisdom and folly are meaningless. He says, I studied wisdom and I studied foolishness. And he says they're both the same. There's no difference. All of this is meaningless without purpose. Verse 6, look at verse 16 in Ecclesiastes 2. Are you guys following me? Trying to get through this. Verse 16, for the wise man, like the fool, will not be long remembered in days to come. Both will be forgotten. Like the fool, the wise man must die. Isn't that depressing? I mean, church, you work all your life, and you finally finish paying your mortgage, and then you die. Have mercy. It's depressing. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. That's life. That's why it's more important to know your purpose than to own a house. Because if you let the house become your purpose in life, then you will never fulfill your real purpose, because the house you bought, you're probably going to die in. You're probably going to die paying for it. Look at verse 20 to 23. It says, so my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all that he owns to someone who has not worked for it. Everybody said, This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun all his days? His work is pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. Remember, he's talking about life without God, life without purpose and destiny. What that ends up being. This is just going from bad to worse. Ecclesiastes 1 to 2 just goes from bad to worse. But then all of a sudden in chapter 3, look at chapter 3. After all this, something switches in chapter 3. The writer puts something, right in the middle of this book that seems to give us some encouragement. He says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Now, go down to verse 10. Go down to verse 10. He says, I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Now, I want to stay there because I really want to explain this. It says, God has made everything beautiful in his time. Now, that statement doesn't mean pretty things. The word beautiful there can be translated matured or come to full maturity. God has made everything in the earth to come to its full maturity. everything. God has made everything beautiful in its time, made everything matured, coming to full maturity in its time. Everything we see all over the creation, everything becomes, all over the creation, everything becomes what it's supposed to be, and then it dies. That's all over creation. Now listen, I want you to get this. Watch this. I want you to get this. God takes you from the unseen, eternity. He takes you from eternity, the unseen. He puts you in the seen, this realm. But watch, he kept the unseen in you. Eternity. Look what it says. He made everything beautiful in his time. He set eternity in the hearts of men. So God takes you from the unseen, eternity. He puts you in the seen, this realm, but he kept the unseen in you, eternity in the hearts of mankind. Let me put it this way. There's something in the unseen that God has already established for you to do that you need to do in the seen. So watch, what you were born to do is already finished, but it's in the unseen. It's just like when the Bible says that Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. That was in the unseen. Then he was sent to the seen to manifest it. Oh, come on. It's the same for you. It's the same for you. So what you were born to do is already finished, but it's in the unseen. And you are sent to the seen to manifest it. So God put you in the seen, watch, but he put eternity in your heart. He keeps you in touch with that which is unseen. Have mercy. He puts you in the seen, but he keeps you in touch with that which is unseen. Therefore, the seen is in touch with the unseen. Therefore, the physical is in touch with the spiritual. Therefore, the mortal is in touch with the immortal. This is why every one of you know that there's something on the inside of you that says, that's speaking to you, that there's more, there's something I'm supposed to do. I just don't know. People are wrong about me. There's something. I don't know what it is. There's a feeling on the inside that you were meant for more than you are currently experiencing. How many know that feeling? There's something inside each one of us saying, I'm supposed to do something important in this life. God, I don't know what it is. Lord, there's frustration. I don't know what it is. There's frustration, there's struggle, there's anxiety. What is that? I'm going to tell you what that is, church. That's destiny pulling at you. It's destiny pulling at you. That's why inside you, there's something gnawing at your gut. You know what it is? It's destiny. It's eternity talking to time. Jesus. It's eternity saying to time, hey, you ain't got much time to get me in there. Eternity is saying every day that passes threatens your manifestation. You don't have time to waste. You don't have any more time to waste. Young man, young woman, you don't have any more time to waste. You can't afford another day doing the wrong thing because eternity is crying out to time saying, get me in there before you leave and come back here. God doesn't want you to come back into eternity with what you're supposed to deposit in time. Jesus. What do you think the story about the servants and the talents are about? He sent everybody with something. No human being was born empty. Everybody came with something. And your job and your responsibility is to take what you came with and deposit it on the planet because somebody else is supposed to benefit from it. Oh, I wish I had time to go into that, but let me tell you. What did Jesus call this? Oh man, this is good. What did Jesus call the man who buried his talent? Do you remember? Who didn't deliver it? Whoa, say it. Wicked. Wait a minute. He gave two words for the man who buried his talent and didn't do anything with it. He gave two words. He said, wicked and lazy. Wow. Now see, you're so religiously messed up that you thought wickedness was witchcraft and black magic and palm reading. You thought that was wickedness. Jesus called wickedness anybody who does not become what they were born to be. He said it's wickedness. You know, that means you might be sitting right next to a wicked person in church, worshiping together. Wicked people not fulfilling their purpose, not maximizing their dreams, not becoming their talents and releasing their gifts. You were put here on this earth. You were put into the kingdom of God. You were put into this body to release your gifts. That's wickedness. Ooh. And listen, why isn't it released? What's the next word? He said, because you are lazy. Oh. Thank God Jesus said it and I didn't. He says, because you are lazy. Wickedness. He calls it wickedness. I couldn't get over that. He says in Ecclesiastes, he says, God has placed in every man eternity. God has set eternity in the heart of man. What a statement. I mean, what does that mean, church? That means he set eternity in the heart of man. It means he has tied you to a destiny that is in the unseen. And that's why you're so frustrated. Because every human has it. Every human has it. Every young man, every older man, every young woman, every young girl, every older woman, we have the same problem. We are walking around knowing that there's something we are supposed to do, something we're supposed to become. And there is this thing that is calling us. It's calling us, and we can't define it. We can't put our hands on it. I can't get a grip on it. Well, I can't really fully capture it, but we know it's there. I like the way he puts it here in verse 11. I'm going to read it again. He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Now, watch this last statement. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Notice, he ties this mystery of eternity to what God has done from beginning to end. Watch. In other words, God has already established an end that he wanted. Then he began you to get to that end. So God has set the end before the beginning. He said, but you can't fathom the end. Why? Why? Because, church, the book is about men who are living independent of God, who are not in fellowship with God. So watch, we lost contact with the one who set our end. And if you lose contact with the one that set your end, you don't know the reason for your beginning. We know we began, but we don't know why. We know we were born, but we don't know why. We know we exist, but we don't know why. We know we are here, but we don't know why. And that's why life is such a frustration, is such a pain, and because so many people don't know why. This passion that Solomon talks about, that everyone is struggling with, is what he calls purpose and destiny. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. Know that everything God does will endure forever. Watch this. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. You know, church, your destiny is really what you need to experience some level of satisfaction in this life. Watch. Any more than that, he says, will frustrate you. Any less than that will depress you. That's why you can be successfully wrong. There are so many successful failures. Everyone thinks they're great except them. You know them. You know them. They might be right in your neighborhood. They got the perfect house. They got the perfect car. They got the perfect position. Got the perfect title. Got the perfect job. And they got the perfect depression. Why? Why, church? Why? Because they have done exactly what they were not born to do. And they are still searching for what they were born to do and what they were born to be. What God does will endure forever. Only God's will, only his purpose. Only his purposes and his destiny for you will endure forever. I close with this, church. That means that when you do what God gave you birth to do, it lasts forever. You want to leave a legacy? You want to leave any kind of legacy? Then I'm going to implore you this morning. I'm going to implore you this morning to find out, to pursue, to seek, to search, to get counsel. Find out what you were born to do and what you were born to be, and awaken, awaken to your destiny. Can somebody say amen? Amen. You know what? I just feel it in here. Some of you are on the edge. You are on the cusp of awakening to your destiny. And I pray for you that you're going to find your purpose and you're going to become what God created you to become. Father, we ask you this morning to awaken every heart in this room to the destiny that you, Lord, have set inside them. Younger, older, male, female, whatever stage of life, whatever status in life, if you're still breathing, you have purpose and destiny. Lord, I pray that we would seek you and pursue you for what you have set inside us. Lord, you're the creator. You're the manufacturer, Lord. You know, Lord, how you created us to function. You know what you created us to become, and you know what you created us to do, Lord. So, Lord, we seek you, we pursue you, we stay connected to the one who has put eternity in our hearts.